This morning, as we celebrate the gospel and God's great work in our midst, God has reached lives and changed lives, and we celebrate that. I've spent a number of years on this Sunday presenting some aspect of our Christian heritage, but as I went through the book of Acts and just noticed the general pattern of that, I couldn't help but notice that the gospel is actually a bigger story than our country. Love our country. Love some of the things that occurred early on and getting people here and Bibles being printed actually by the government. And wow, just some astounding things were done early on that are being revised out of our history. Love being able to delve into that. But I was convicted as I looked at Acts and saw this general flow that the gospel is actually a bigger story than our nation. And so we wanted to take this day and celebrate the gospel. And celebrate the gospel and how it's had an impact in our midst and in our life as a church. So the book of Philippians has something, but I wanted to start with just an idea from the book of Acts. We saw as we went through the book of Acts that the church was basically born on the day of Pentecost. That was the biggest festival at that particular, the biggest religious festival in Israel. Passover was actually more important. Pentecost was bigger because it was 50 days later than Passover. Roads would be drier and travel was more accessible, less dangerous. More people in Jerusalem, in other words. So a 50,000 city population of Jerusalem being about 50,000 would swell to something like 300,000 for Pentecost. And while people are gathered for worship, there was Luke tells us there was people from every nation gathered in Jerusalem. And at that point in time, the Holy Spirit came and made himself manifest. But I just come back to that phrase, Luke seeing every nation represented there. And that just sort of gives us a foretaste of what the church would be doing in a powerful way, taking people who had been previously separated by continents and countries and cultures and customs and creeds, and he's going to bring them all together now to be one. That is a big story. In fact, I would say that is the biggest story, that all things are being united in the person of Jesus Christ, and they're being held together by the person of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel, and we celebrate the gospel this morning and God's great work in our midst. Well, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 is where I want to start. Paul, in his travels, got around the world. Boy, did he get around. And one of the places he got to was the city of Philippi, which is nowhere near where he started. But let's take a read at this and begin to work our way through some of the early portions of Philippians chapter 1. So it starts like this. This is just the salutation, the greetings. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Now, we usually sign our letters, if you even write a letter anymore. You put your name at the end. They put their name at the beginning. So Paul and Timothy, hey guys, we're writing this letter, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Love that distinction. Saints in Christ, that just means the Christians. Christians in Christ at Philippi. So at that particular location of Philippi. And what joins them together is Jesus Christ, being in Christ. Paul is also someone who's in Christ, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want to see that map. Could we put the map up here on the screen? And we'll help you understand the context. So on the lower right, that's where Paul started, where the red and the blue arrows begin. That's Israel. So Paul started in Israel, and in his travels initially, he followed the red arrow and made it as far as Philippi. So you can see that's already different. That's actually a different continent. So he went from the Middle East, which is Asia, to Europe, which Philippi is part of Greece, modern-day Greece, of Philippi. So he went there. He's really different than them. He would start off with a different language. He had a different flag, a different country, a different culture, different customs. But when he writes this letter to Philippi, he's not in Israel anymore, and he's definitely not in Philippi anymore. He's actually in Rome, and that's where the blue arrow takes you. So that blue line, that goes to Rome. So way on the other side of the map, Paul's as far away from home as he could possibly be and still really have this map on the screen. He's nowhere near where he started. And he's writing to folks in Philippi who aren't anywhere near where he started either. They're all different. Paul would be a minority if he showed up in Philippi at the moment of this writing. And he's saying, we're all in this together. Now watch how he says this. I'm going to keep reading this. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, all the Christians there in Philippi. Since I have you in my heart, for whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you can share in God's grace with me. Wow. So amongst all these Christians, Paul's in Rome, he's writing to Philippi, he's from Israel. Paul's got to be the most different of them all. He's writing to people who really can't relate to where he's been and don't share his culture and don't share his language. He has to speak a second or a third language, more like a third language, just to communicate well with them. So obviously, different guy, different culture, different worldview, different flag. The gospel is bigger than all of that. And the gospel has the potential to bring all of that together to be one in Christ. Notice how he says this in verse 5. Because of your partnership. What kind of partnership? Not a friendship. Because of your partnership in the gospel. The gospel is the bigger story. Bigger than nations. Bigger than language. Bigger than tribes. Bigger than cultures, bigger than continents, bigger than customs. All of that. The gospel is bigger than all of that and unites people in Christ. Now, this might be as different as an American Christian and an Arab Christian. With the American Christian being immersed in American culture and the Arab Christian being immersed in Middle Eastern culture, but they're partners in the gospel. Same family, same team. The gospel brings people together because it's bigger than all of those things that sometimes separate us as Christians. The gospel is a bigger story. For our purposes today, let me say it this way and step on a couple of toes. Don't really mean to, but I think the application here, we just have to say it. The gospel is bigger than conservative. It's bigger than liberal. The gospel is bigger than Democrat, and it's bigger than Republican. By the way, it's also bigger than independent. The gospel is bigger than all those things that sometimes cause Christians to be suspicious of each other or even to be distant from each other. The gospel is bigger than that. And we actually have partnership from those sometimes that we think are a bit odd. In 2011, I had the privilege of leading a group of people, a lot of them from here, to the Bible lands, modern-day Turkey, where we traced the steps of Paul. And it was just a phenomenal trip to be able to visit sites such as Ephesus and Philippi and others. And on the plane over there, we had a 10-hour flight over the ocean. And I sat next to a lady who was seemed to be resistant to what the flight attendants were telling her. She just, yeah, yeah, and then would not do what they say. And the director, you know, put the seat back up, yeah, yeah, and not do what they say. And so we were able to take off, and I got 10 hours. Okay, so who are you? Where are you from? What's your story? Found out she's from Tehran, Iran. And I kind of guessed that she knew about 50 words of English because conversations were really slow. I'd ask something, and there was this long, awkward delay, and then she'd answer back. And I'd try to filter through, okay, what is she telling me here? But I found out, this was interesting, I just, in the course of conversation, I asked her something along the line of, you know, since you've been in America, has anyone invited you to church? Because I was thinking, she's in Bellevue. She's going to Bellevue Community College at night to learn English. Come to my church. I'd love to have you. Has anyone invited you to church? And she said, no mosque, no mosque. Esau. Okay, church, no mosque, no mosque. I think she's telling me she's not a Muslim. But Esau, what is that? And then it dawned on me. Esau is an Arabic term for Jesus. So she's saying, no mosque, no mosque. Esau. I think she's saying she's not a Muslim, she's a Christian. And I realized, here's this lady from Tehran, Iran, that sometimes we're told, hey, that's the bad city, right, in the world. We don't want to go there. Don't ever go there. Here's this lady sitting next to me who can barely speak 50 words of English. Conversation being really slow and strained and kind of difficult. She is my sister in Christ. And not only am I her brother in Christ and she's my sister in Christ, I have more in common with her, I realized, than all the Westerners on the airplane who don't share my faith, right? They don't share my spiritual family. Because Jesus holds us together. He brings us together in one family. So being a Christian is actually bigger. You join a bigger family that has more than what you share in common with your American neighbor next door who roots for the Seahawks but actually doesn't know Christ. Although we think we have more in common with that person who looks like us, acts like us, drinks like us, all of that, just like us, we do have more in common and more spiritual connection with somebody who's far away and nowhere near us, nowhere near like us, and yet they're Christian, brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, so we celebrate the gospel this morning, and there's just nothing like the story of Jesus and his love for people. Listen to the words of a man from India who became a Christian and later became a pastor. I'm a Christian, an Indian, and a former rock musician. Not sure all that fits together, but there it is. I grew up in South India and lived within a particular subculture of my particular urban Indian melting pot. When the Lord saved me in my final year of college, I soon found myself surrounded by people completely different from me. People from different ethnicities and cultures who spoke different languages, ate different kinds of food, and even had completely different musical preferences. Was I uncomfortable? Yes. But what amazed me back then and what continues to amaze me now is not the radical differences that separated us. No. What amazed me was the unity and brotherhood that these people shared with one another despite all their differences. A unity and brotherhood that I was folded into through my conversion to Jesus Christ that breaks all barriers and brings all peoples together as members of his household. And isn't it cool in Revelation it says it twice that we will see people from every people group, every tribe, every language, every nation. And Revelation chapter 22 speaks of the healing of the nations. We will recognize national identity because we'll know there's nations there. But we'll be one. The gospel is bigger than nations. Here's a good summary of Paul's teaching on unity. If you're in Philippians, I'm going to turn the page and look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. This is a really great, concise statement that's rich in meaning. Brothers and sisters in Christ goes beyond national borders. Verse 20 of chapter 3. Our citizenship is in heaven. And that would have been particularly meaningful to the folks at Philippi because Philippi was a Roman colony. You could be a city and be a colony. Some long story short, Philippi did Rome a favor a very long time ago. And so Rome said, you are our colony. Everyone who's a citizen of Philippi is a citizen of Rome. It could be that you've never even been to Rome and you're living in Philippi as a citizen of Philippi, but you know what? You get all the rights and privileges of being a Roman citizen. It was as if you'd been born in Rome as a Roman citizen, even though you had never been to Rome and you were only in Philippi. It was just as good. And so when Paul says this, and they're reading along, they're hearing or reading this letter, our citizenship is in heaven, their mind just totally tracks with that. Our citizenship is in a faraway place. We're in Philippi. Our citizenship is in Rome. And what he wants them to know is all you Christians here, no matter where your citizenship ultimately is, your citizenship is in heaven with our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And there again, the gospel is a bigger story. to be in Christ is stronger and even more important than being a citizen of any particular country. Love our country. Love our country. Glad I'm American. Love our country. But a bigger story in my life, bigger than being a citizen of the great U.S. of A., bigger than that, bigger than being from San Diego and everybody wants to move to San Diego. I moved from San Diego. Love it here. Love the Pacific Northwest. Bigger than that, my citizenship in heaven. I hope you see it that way. Bigger than your citizenship here or anywhere else is your citizenship in heaven. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I'm giving you a summer assignment. So at the end of summer, you can write your term paper that says what I did on my summer vacation. You can write this. I want you to get together with two people who share this church with you that you don't know. I'm not saying 10 people because I'm not overloading. I'm saying two people who are Christian, brothers and sisters in Christ, you share this church with them, but you don't know them. Now, that's kind of easy to find. Well, it might be easier to find today because we've combined services and we'll have some fun time at the park. So this summer, you could have them over or you could meet up somewhere. Maybe you don't live in a place where you want to have people. Maybe you could meet up somewhere. Now, no fair asking Julie and I. We don't count. So two people you don't know. And if you want to double up and have a couple over that you don't know, you know what? I'll give you extra credit if you do it again. If you complete this assignment, I'm going to give you 10,000 points. And catch this. With those 10,000 points and $10, you can go down to Starbucks and pretty much get any drink you want. All right? So two people you don't know sometime in the summer. And maybe we'll compare notes at the end of the summer. What you're doing is you're acknowledging your partnership in the gospel, your familyhood. Do you realize when Paul wrote his letters, he wrote 13, 150 times he referred to brothers and sisters in Christ. 150 times he used some kind of a term that spoke of family. The gospel is the big deal. It is the bigger story. Celebrate our country. Love our country. Love the Seahawks. Fine. The gospel. Got Seahawks in the brain. Shouldn't have gone there. Gospel is the bigger story. Well, maybe you remember that now that I made you laugh. Hey, how about if we pray? Dear God, we thank you for the great good news that Jesus Christ saves people without regard to where we're from, what language we speak, or what our background is, or history, or anything like that. You just see us as people who need you. Thank you for that. Help us to see that too. Help us to begin to see more often than not that the friend or the neighbor or the knowing one or the cousin or whatever, those are souls for whom Christ has died. We want to see people that way. Souls, give us the ability to see people the way Jesus does and to begin to treat people more often than not the way Jesus treats them. Thank you for the gift of this morning and the clarity of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.